You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom life. We're surrounded with the message that it's the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it is hard and full of lots of servitude, the idea that motherhood means a joyless life is something I'm passionate about putting a stop to. I'm on a mission to help you stop counting down the minutes till bedtime. At least most days. I want you to stop cleaning up after your kid's childhood and start being present for it. Start enjoying it. I believe in John 10:10 that we are called to abundant life, and I know mothers are not excluded from that promise. Join me in conversations about simplicity, minimalism, and lots of other good stuff that leads to a life of less for the sake of enjoying more in your motherhood. I'm Ali Casaza, and this is The Purpose Show. Hey, ladies, welcome to an episode of The Purpose Show. This episode is super fun and relaxed, which I very much like. I've been wanting to do Q&A episodes for a while just because I do get a lot of questions, a lot of emails, lots of Instagram messages, just with questions about my life and how I do things and all the things that I sort of teach on and inspire you to make changes in. And sometimes you just have questions. And as my business has grown, I've had to become more and more removed from interacting with each individual comment and message. And so sometimes when I get messages sort of by the masses, like a lot of the same question again and again, it tells me this is something that really needs to be answered. And so I try to take notice of that. And these episodes are kind of just a time. Every month is my plan to do these episodes every month and just kind of have this time set aside to dive into, you know, maybe one or two or three, hopefully, questions that I get all the time and sort of just give answers. And I think even if you haven't been a person that asked these questions, you know, you might find the answers helpful and interesting. And it's just kind of like a free-for-all of inspiration. So that's my goal for these episodes. And so let's dive in. Q&A with me. Okay, so here's a question from an Instagrammer. And again, all these questions have been asked many, many times. So I just usually like pick one that I'm getting asked again and again and pick one person who asked it recently, and then I'll dive into the answers. So question number one is, I am in the having babies and family planning season of my motherhood and would love to know, what do you like and dislike about having your kids so close in age? This is a super great question. So what I like and dislike about having my kids so close in age. So for those of you who don't know, I have four kids. My oldest at the time of this recording is 8. She's going to turn 9 soon. And then I have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So my oldest two kids are just under 2 years apart. And then my two older boys are about 15 months apart. And then let's see, I have so many kids, I lose track of the gaps. And then let's see, Hudson is 5 and Emmett is 3. So another 2 years. I think it's like 2.5 years actually with them. And we had a miscarriage in between Hudson and Emmett the last two. So yeah, our kids are very close. And Brian and I definitely wanted our kids to be this close together. We had multiple reasons that went into that. But I think the main thing is that we just really wanted to have a close-knit family. And I think you can have that even if you have large age gaps between your kids. I don't think that that necessarily means you will or won't. But we wanted our family to be close age-wise at the same time as like relationally close. So what I like about it is that it's very easy to remain closely knit. The kids are all like into the same things at the same time. We don't have to deal with like our oldest rolling her eyes and being really irritated that we're at the park for her brother who's, you know, 9 years younger than she is. They all kind of stayed into the same thing. So what this means is that the youngest one will kind of not really linger in the baby phase very long. And that's probably what I dislike about having them so close in age. And it's not that I dislike it. It's just like a little bit of a sad con, I guess. There's pros and cons to everything. But like Emmett stayed, he didn't really get into baby toys and baby stuff. Like as soon as he could realize, oh, I want to go and do this with my siblings, he would go and want to play with what they're playing with. So he's into like ninjas and Legos and all those kinds of things way younger than the older kids were into those things because they didn't have somebody kind of pulling them forward. So it's kind of a pro and a con. I think it's mostly a pro. I think it's awesome that my kids are all very close in age. They're all kind of into the same things at the same time and they can play together really, really well. I just really, really like my kids' age gaps. I think my favorite age gap is probably Leland and Hudson, who are 15 months apart. It's basically like having twins, and they are very, very close. It's been a real positive for me. I have had no issues or complaints. The pregnancy was hard because Leland was so little, and I also had Bella, who is like two, when I was pregnant with Hudson. And so that was hard. But once they were all here and the relationship started to form and Hudson was like a year old, it was very, very much worth the difficult pregnancy season. So I think it just depends on you as a mom. But yeah, that's an answer to the question. Okay, the next question for today's episode is, how can I begin to limit my kids' tech use? I have no idea how to get started here. So I won't go into all the benefits of limiting your kids' tech time. I think it's easily findable online. There's lots of studies that are being done on it or have been done recently. I've talked about it a lot on my website and in webinars. And since that's not really the question, just kind of how to get started, I'll just dive right in that respect. So I think firstly, maybe do a little research on like what technology, how it affects your kids' brains and their attitudes, and kind of notice in your own home how it affects your kids, and kind of get like a ballpark idea of what amount of time you're okay with per day. I used to be pretty rigid with just like 30 minutes a day, you know, and that was kind of it. And now it's a little bit more fluid just because We love technology and it's a big part of our lives. It's my entire business. And for the kids, like we have the Nintendo Switch and we have a vintage Super Nintendo that the kids love to play with us. And we have Netflix and we do all that. We have, you know, a normal home in terms of technology, but it's just such a normalcy for us to limit it that I don't really feel the need to be super, super rigid and have timers like I used to and really, really watch their behavior, because the kids will now sort of just naturally shut it down after that time. Not always. I mean, there's some days where it's like raining out and it's freezing and, you know, maybe somebody's sick and they'll play all day if we let them, or switch between, you know, playing games and watching Netflix, and that's fine. I mean, it's a sick day, it's a bad weather day, whatever. There's certain days throughout the year that are like that, and I don't think that's a big deal. It's a rarity. It's not like it's our norm, and I think that's the key. But typically, it's like 30 to 45 minutes a day, and there are definitely days where there is no technology at all. The kids don't even think to ask about it. It's just not a part of our day. So I'm really happy with the balance we've struck as a family with technology. And I think the first step in getting there yourself is, like I said, researching, kind of finding your ballpark time frame during the day, like how much is okay for you. You know, do you think it's okay for your kids to spend, if that's 2 hours for you, if it's 20 minutes, it just depends on you as a mother and kind of like what your gut tells you and what feels right to you. I think that it's a really great idea to sort of do like take a break from technology altogether for, you know, 1 to 4 weeks or so if you want to. It's sort of like a cleanse. It'll be awful at first. I'm not going to lie to you. Your kids will totally go through withdrawals. They'll be super whiny and bored and it'll be really difficult. But man, it is so amazing to see how their imaginations sort of like wake up from a deep slumber and they like start to use them again and start to play again, and their relationships will get better with each other and they'll play more together and be interacting and having conversations and coloring and playing outside and making up games. It might take a week or so, but they'll get there. And I think it's really sad that technology has robbed our children of play in a lot of ways. I'm very thankful for technology. And like I said, it's a big part of our life. It's in our home. It's, you know, we use it all the time. It's part of most of our days, but I do think that it can take over and just rob us of a lot of good, sweet memories and playing and just sort of that organic play that kids are made to be good at. It makes them unable to do it. It's like they don't even know how, which I think is just sad. And that's not how I want my kids to grow up. So I would start there by coming up with a time frame, maybe considering doing a technology cleanse. I don't know if some of you may have followed me way back in the day, but about 2 years ago, we did a cleanse from technology just because we had found like it was creeping back in and just kind of like taking over again. And we did, we were going to do 30 days of no TV, no Netflix, no Nintendo, nothing. And we actually just removed the TV from the home to eliminate distractions. Brian and I have always had a TV, not always, but for a while, we've had a TV in our room because watching Netflix together at the end of the day is like one of our favorite things to do together. So we left the TV in our room. Like for us, like we didn't really take a break. It was mostly for the kids because we found that we were relying on it a lot as parents. And so we did like a 30-day no TV thing. We loved it so much and we're so thrilled with the results of our kids' relationships from that cleanse that it ended up lasting for over 6 months. And the only reason it returned was because football season came around and we love to host our friends and family for a football game. So we brought it back. And after that I feel like that was when we really hit our stride with technology being very balanced and not the main event in our house. Ever since we did that cleanse, it was really, really, it was just a really cool time. We remember that season and that thing that we did like really fondly. We talk about it a lot and it was just a really neat time. And it really started us off on a good foot with technology. When you buy something, you buy it with your time, with minutes from your life, not just with your money. Studies show us that less clutter equals less stress and more time. It's really as simple as that. This was the founding reason that I created Your Uncluttered Home. It's become my most popular, globally praised decluttering course that I designed for moms who want to live their lives more than they want to clean up after it. It's truly the A to Z of minimalism. Every room, every area, every nook and cranny of your house totally uncluttered. This super extensive, extremely detailed course is literally everything you need to become a minimalist mama who's able to be a lot more present for what matters most. To learn more about the course, go to alikazaza.com/allcourses. This really is the shortcut version, the exact journey that I took as a mom 5 or 6 years ago now that got me to this point of an uncluttered, minimalistic motherhood where I'm spending the least amount of time on my house every day. Motherhood is just way too sweet a time to be spent struggling so hard and living in survival mode day in and day out. And our stuff really is the cause of that. If you want to start this lifestyle, if you want to simplify your life, I believe that it all starts at home. Having said that, I think that you need to kind of know in yourself what you want and remember that you're the parent and anything that you do for your kids in this area is meant for their well-being. You're not being mean. You're not being cruel or making things harder for them. You're trying to be a good mom and make a good decision and raise them well and raise kids who know how to play and enjoy life and have conversations and know how to interact with people and have the right priorities. So I think that's all a really good foundation. I think that's the most important thing. So consider a cleanse, find your time limit. And then once you do, start setting those time limits. We have a timer in the kitchen that we set with Alexa. We have Alexa, so we'll just say, you know, Alexa, or the kids know to do it. Set a timer for 40 minutes or whatever we've given them permission to do, 30 to 45 minutes, whatever, and they'll just set the timer and start playing. And when the timer goes off, if somebody's in the middle of a turn, they're allowed to finish their turn and then save the game and it's time to shut it down. And there's no complaining. They know that's the rule. There's no like freaking out or, you know, sighing and, oh, I'm not done. I don't want to stop. They just like, they know to stop and turn off. That's the rule. And the way that I got that way was just by us setting the timer ourselves and being really consistent with, okay, guys, finish up this turn. It's time to turn it off. And just like not giving any attention to like their meltdowns or their complaining about it. It is what it is. And there was even a period of time where if they complained or threw a fit about us, you know, the timer went off and it was time to shut it down, we would just very calmly be like, okay, well, this shows me that technology messes up your attitude and you need a break. So we're going to take it away for 3 days and you can have it back and we'll try again. So they learned that if they freak out and have a meltdown when it's time to turn it off and the timer goes off after they were able to play for, you know, 45 minutes or so, then they lose it for a few days. So you can kind of like find your parenting foundation in that and like what feels right to you. What kind of a parent are you? How strict are you normally? And like find a way to make this just sort of fit in with your parenting philosophy. You know, what we do may not work for you or it may not sit well with you. You just might not want to do that way and that's totally fine. So it's different for everybody. I don't like to get into parenting stuff just because everybody is so different. It's such a personal preference and everybody comes from different backgrounds. But those are some of the things that we've done that have really worked well for us. I feel really happy with and proud of the place we've landed with technology in our home. So that's kind of the journey we've been through and the different things we've tried and the different like rules we've implemented. And at this point, it's just It's just a house rule. This is how it works with technology. That my kids are not entitled to tech time. It just is kind of not that way in our house. And I feel really like peaceful about that. And I really love where we're at with that. So I hope that helps you guys. Okay. We have time for one more question in this episode. And so the next one is again from Instagram. And it is, I would love to develop a good morning routine, but I don't know where to start. How should I go about creating one that will work well for me? How do I know what to do during my morning routine? How do I know how early I need to wake up, etc.? Thanks for any help. Okay, so morning routine really comes down to, again, you and your life and what you need to accomplish. So I'll use myself as an example because there's been like different seasons of morning routine for me. So a while back, a couple years ago, I was in a place of starting my business. And Brian at the time worked for a big company and he worked really crazy long hours. He was gone all day and we homeschooled the kids. And I didn't want to be like working all day with headphones in while the kids were watching TV. I really wanted to do the bulk of my work early in the morning and be done so that I could be present with the kids and focus on homeschooling during the day. And then maybe just work a little bit on the business like during nap times and quiet times and after bedtime. So that meant that I had to get up super early. And this was not just like, oh, I want to start a business. Like this was huge. God had really put this on our hearts. And we couldn't afford to quit Brian's job yet. And I knew this business was really going to go somewhere. And I was very, very dedicated. So I, at this point, knew that I had like 4 hours of work to get done before Brian left in the morning for me to really grow my business and get it off the ground in the very tight timeline that I wanted to. So I was getting up at like 4 a.m. and dragging myself downstairs, pouring a cup of coffee and getting to work on my laptop almost every single morning except for Sundays. And that was incredibly difficult, but it was also incredibly empowering and incredibly rewarded. My business just took off fairly quickly and what I wanted to happen happened. So that was a season of my life where I knew what I needed to get done and I knew what time I needed to wake up to do it. And that's what I did. And there's other seasons where I've woke up at like 5:30 or 6 in the morning and just gotten a few things done, had some quiet time, exercised, enjoyed my coffee, and then, you know, started my day with the kids. And right now, my season of life is very calm and mellow. I'm not in like a super crazy hustle season of my business or anything. I've got a large team that does a lot of the back end work for me, or pretty much all the back end work for me. And I'm really focused on just enjoying my life, enjoying my family, and enjoying my role in my business, which is to lead you guys and put this show on and come up with creative ideas and new challenges and topics and things like that. So right now my morning routine is very loose and simplified and enjoyable. So I usually get up about 6:30 in the morning, a lot less early than I used to. And I just read, I pray, I have some time of like meditation and just worship. And I will read like my Bible first and have my prayer time, kind of have my spiritual time first. And then I'll pour a cup of coffee and I will read a chapter of whatever book I'm currently reading. I'm always reading a book. Reading is really important to me. And I'll do that. And then usually kind of like do some yoga stretches or take a walk, or sometimes I'll just get my workout done in the morning, but I don't usually do it that early in the morning. And then the kids come down for breakfast and we start our day. So yeah, my morning routine is a lot more like relaxed and less like, okay, get up, get dressed, get your stuff done. Like I don't need it to be like that. My husband is home with me, running the business with me. We're homeschooling our kids. So it doesn't need to be so rigid and crazy. So that kind of hopefully gives you a little bit of an example of what I mean by like, it can ebb and flow and shift as your life does. And your morning routine should reflect where you're at in your life. So having said that, where do you start? Look at your life, look at your schedule. What would help you to get done in the morning before your day really starts? And by that, I mean, when your kids come out of the room and it's time for breakfast, time to get them ready for school, whatever your normal daily schedule is, what would be like so helpful for you to have done? Is it quiet alone time? Is it, you know, reading and self-care kind of? Is it exercise? Is it just waking up and taking a shower and getting yourself dressed for the day and having a cup of coffee in peace before the day really starts? Is it getting up really early and knocking out a bunch of work tasks? My biggest key thing has always been, what is the most important thing that I need to do today? I want to start the day out by getting that done first. There's a saying, and I can never remember who said it. I read it in a book once. And this woman said, If it has to get done in the day, then it needs to be done first. Otherwise, life happens, interruptions take place, and you'll probably not end up getting it done. So right now in my season, that's self-care. I'm in a place where my job is to serve other women, and I see a lot of unkind messages on a weekly basis, and I'm dealing with a lot of like judgment from other people. I have to be on all the time, and I'm an introvert. Not all the time, but when I'm doing my thing and my business, I have to be on, and I'm an introvert, so that's draining sometimes. My kids are at home all the time, and we're homeschooling, so that's also an energy drainer. So for me right now, where I'm at, for me to be my best self, the most important thing is that I have that time with the Lord and take care of myself first. Work can wait and start later, but before, that was not my season, and I really needed to hustle to make things happen to get to where I am today. So ask yourself where you're at. What is the most important thing that needs to get done? Would it help you greatly if you got a meal in the crock pot, a load of laundry done, and got yourself dressed for the day before your kids woke up? Would that be like, oh my gosh, that would feel so good. That's what I need to do. Or is it something else? Start there. Once you have your answer of like, and make sure you pare it down to like one or two, maybe three small things. Be realistic. Like what really? Like, of course it would be great if all your stuff was done before your kids woke up, but that's not realistic. You have to wake up at like 2 in the morning. What one or two things would be really truly the best if they were done before you started your day with your kids? And then the next step is to ask yourself how long each task will take you, and that will give you your wake-up time. So if you know that you have to get 3 hours of work done before your day starts, and you serve your kids breakfast at 7:30 in the morning, then you know you've got to wake up at like 4:30. So see how that works. You can just kind of do the math. Also, a little bit of a trick. If you're finding that it's too much, like it's an ungodly hour, like you do not want to wake up that early to get those things done, but you would also really like it if those things were taken care of, see if you can fit something into your evening routine. Like if your kids go in their rooms at like 8 o'clock for bed, I know you're probably exhausted at that time of day, but is there something you could do to just kind of prep and get something at least partially done? Like maybe you could lay everybody's outfits out, lay your workout clothes out, set your alarm, choose the workout video you're going to do the next morning, and make breakfast for everybody at night and have it in the fridge ready to be reheated in the morning. So that way, like maybe you could wake up a little bit less early because you're just literally waking up and getting to it instead of having to also prepare other things for the rest of the day. Can you get your workout in at night? Can you get some work done for 45 minutes in the evening before you go to bed, you know, on your laptop or something, instead of waking up 45 minutes earlier to get the work done? And then you can use your morning routine for something else. Kind of like look at your schedule and your routines from an aerial view if you can, and just like detach yourself emotionally from the stress of planning it all, and just look at like the breakdown of like, what do you need to get done each day? What does your evening routine look like? What does your morning routine currently look like? How can you find the cracks and fill them and arrange it in a way that really works for you and kind of increases your productivity? This was an episode of The Purpose Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're ready to up-level and really take action on the things I talk about on my show, head to alikasaza.com for free downloads, courses, classes, and to learn more about what the next step might look like for you. I'm always rooting for you. See you next time.